Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Yes, that's me live. We're doing a flip-flop today on a gorgeous day like this. Time to get out and play a little tournament golf this time of year, right? So, later tea time, but not quite late enough to have our usual schedule. And so anyway, give us a call. We're live. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, markets like this have you, me, I think most of us in the industry, right, thinking a lot about history and what do markets do after they come out of these things, and are there some kind of indications that we could be near a bottom and all those things. And sure, there sometimes are little indications. But the reality is you can't time anything. All you can know, frankly, is that the market's down X percent. And really, when you think about that, it's down 20 plus percent. The NASDAQ's 30 plus percent. Now, we had a big rally last week. I mean, it was a big rally. What, 8, 9% on the NASDAQ's, over 6% in the broad S&P. It was a huge rally. Huge, like biggest in 2 years. Kind of rally. It was a big, big rally. But we're still down 18%, nearly 20, and we were down more than 20. And all you can know is what you are already down. Psychologically, that does not help. It really doesn't. It's something that you have to really stop and let sink in. And what I mean by sinking in, you have to sit there and go, you know, it's too late. That's what I mean. It's like, yeah, why worry about it? It's done. Down 20, it always recovers, and so what? I wonder if we have any money, cash, we could toss at it. Because if we do, we should. Instead of sitting around, I wonder if we'll go down 25, I wonder if we'll go down 30, I don't know. And if it does, it makes me so wrong and so dumb. And it doesn't, right? It just doesn't make you wrong and dumb. It makes absolutely certain that it will go down at least a little bit more. You don't get the bottom. And this is one of those really hard, hard things for people, I swear. I mean, I see it all the time when markets fall. Well, you know, I think it's going to go to, you know, Dow, whatever. Based on what? Tea leaves? Squeezing chicken gizzards out? I don't know. Nobody would say that. Like, well, yes, you know, we were reading tarot cards last night, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be Dow, you know, 29.3 is going to be the bottom. No, nobody would say that. But then we say the same type of nonsense. Well, you know, we had a level here, and, you know, this level right here is resistance level. And if we break that resistance level, then we go to this level, and the head and shoulders fake thing guy, or two Fibonacci things down. I mean, it's just, seriously, this is true babble by the technicians. Like, the market works with numerology. Like, you know, if the stars align and then you throw the dice and it's an 8, then the number is moved 100 points this way or that way. Now, of course, I'm making fun. Because they actually have highly paid people that babble this stuff. I have available to me every week technical trading stuff through TD, Schwab. They just, you know. Like that's something that works is numerology. The market just, it doesn't really have anything to do with corporate profits. It doesn't have anything to do with owning the great corporations of the world, what their cash flow is, how big their dividends are. That has nothing to do with it. It's head and shoulders and technical things. It's incredible. And they babbled about this for the 40 years I've been doing this. I'm sure they babbled about it 100 years before. And I ask myself, why? And why do we do this if it doesn't work? I mean, nobody can time the market, and yet we sit around every day and go, well, there's some resistance levels. And they actually bring people on CNBC all the time. Art Cashin, I think, is his name. I think he's been on there as long as I've been alive. I mean, seriously. This guy is really old, and I'm not making fun of him. He is really old. But he's some kind of floor director or something, and I don't watch CNBC much, so I don't. But I actually happened to see he was still on. And I don't know if he's ever been right about anything ever, right? I mean, I'm not sitting there making, tallying his wins and losses. But I'm really baffled at what the value is of somebody coming on and talking about technical things that are like broken every day. Markets don't work like that. And if they did, we would feed market data into supercomputers and then people could time the market every day, and nobody can. And if we want to go through history and talk about all the people that have talked about it, you've heard me say it, right? You know, it's just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, it's one person after the other. You can't time the market. Not possible. On and on. And we're so much healthier when we just accept that. Just accept it. You know, like I was starting to say, Jack Bogle, he's the Vanguard guy, right? The idea that a bell rings to signal when to get into or out of the stock market is simply not credible, nor a technical indicator. Same thing as a bell, right? I mean, it's like, well, there's this resistance line, or Head and Shoulders says this is going to happen. It's not credible. And I just don't know why somebody goes, you got to be kidding me. This isn't numerology. Okay, but after nearly 50 years in this business, I don't know anybody who has done it successfully and consistently. I don't even know anybody who knows anybody who has. I mean, that is a great line. There isn't anybody, but we do it. And that's our human nature, right? Because we want to believe we could figure out stuff. Like, when will the market turn? And that's when we get into danger, because we are down 20. And when you're down 20, most of the time, you're really close to the bottom. Okay, here's my definition of really close to the bottom. Within 10%? And when you're down 24, within 5? Which we were before the week started. Well, I don't know if I want to buy Amazon down 30%. It was down 40. Yeah, I know. Another 5%, it'll be too late. I'll wait for a pullback. It will. Watch that coming. We just know that we had this amazing move down. We know we have great corporations that are a lot less expensive than they were. We know that there were companies out there that were down much more than the market indicated, that weren't down 20. They weren't down 30. They were down 40 and 50%. And I'd wished I'd owned them a year ago. But I don't wish to own them at this price because of overall pessimism and fear. Totally natural, but totally detrimental to good returns and great investing, right? We want to buy low. We don't want to get caught up in euphoria. Or, I don't want to sell that because I might have to pay taxes. That's my problem. That's my biggest problem right there. I don't want to pay taxes. I don't want my clients to pay taxes. And yeah, you know, Apple's pretty good. It's easier to trade in an IRA, isn't it? I mean, to say, well, I'm going to go ahead and right-size, move here, because there are no tax consequences. Lots easier. And I'm not saying you should trade. Mm-mm-mm. Time out here, sidebar. I'll be right back. Trading. The more you trade, the worse you do. Period. study after study after study after study. I know you like the action. I know you like to throw some hardway bets out there. I know you like the field because every roll is a winner or a loser. Got it. Don't do it in investing. Got it. More action, the worse you do. Period. 100% true. 100% true. Okay, back at it. Here's what we know. We're down over 20%, and markets don't go down much more very often. Well, this could be really bad. I get it. You're the great predictor of the next great recession, 50% drop. Tech bubble bursting. So, let's see. How often does that happen? Not very. But we think it's happening now because we're caught in the storm. This is the worst storm ever in history. The climate is the worst it's ever been in history. Well, what about the hurricanes in 1924? I don't know about those. I don't know about these. I don't care about those. What about all the fires in the early 1900s? They were raging. No, this is the worst fire season ever. We go on and on about things like this. Like there's no history in the world except what happens now. And that's because of the emotions of today. The emotions of today are, we have not resolved the problems of today. In any way. Now, I mean, the global problems, relational problems, any problem, the problem with your kid, the problem with, you know, you're thinking about or praying for on your friend's kid, whatever it is, it's not been resolved. We can't have emotion about what it was like. I mean, we recently took a trip, Hiawatha Trail, and I just was blown away by the history of this short ride. I read every sign, okay? I was the guy that kind of rode ahead, read the sign, then told everybody else what was going on. I mean, everybody read a little bit, but you get what I'm saying. And the fires that were through there and the difficulty. This is the longest electric railroad. I mean, we think right now is the only thing that existed. And the fires that burned were so hot, so many people died. They were so out of control that the ground couldn't grow anything for decades. It was sterile. It got that hot. But I know, you know, I get it. We live now and in these emotions now. And the market looks terrible because it is. It's already down 20%. Or 10 or 5 or wherever it is, you're like nibbling away. And it always feels like it's going to get worse. And then we have a week like this. This is what happens. This is exactly what happens when nobody thinks it can. There's nobody that went, meh. The only thing that helps you is that you have so much experience like people like me. And we're not trying to time the market. You just simply go, all right. And you're talking to clients and you're thinking about things all of the time. And you're thinking about it like this, which is different. The average person is, we got to solve the war in Ukraine. We've got to get this inflation under control. Joe Biden needs to, I don't know, collect himself, figure out how not to be wrong on every single thing he does. We need energy policy. We need fill in the blank, right? There's no leadership. There's no hope. We think we have to solve all that. We think as soon as we solve that, then we roll. And all that is true. But what you don't realize or think about until you really spend time thinking about it, you look at history and you are involved to a high level in thinking about the markets, not passing by. What you're really not recognizing is that markets are moving in anticipation of events. And it overreacts all the time, both good and bad. Everything's perfect. It's going to keep being perfect. No, it won't. No, it won't. Well, it's got so much momentum. Everything's really. That's true. But one little thing that goes wrong. Okay, now on the downside. Everything's broken. Everything's wrong. We got to solve these problems. No, we don't. We've already priced them in. Yeah, and earnings are going to go down and blah, blah, blah. Well, they haven't so far. But that you can't turn on CNBC over the last month, and that's not everybody's going, God, the analysts got this so wrong. There's no way. They got to come down. I mean, it's like every other sentence out of every person's mouth is talking about how earnings have to come down. This just that's the constant babble, because what it really is an echo chamber. I'm really smart. You're really smart. We're all really smart. And we all just sound the same. And so we all get to keep our jobs and look really cool. That's really true. There's very little dissent on Wall Street. Very little. Big echo chamber. So far, after a month of lambasting the analysts, when we're now into earnings season, I think the blackout period for pre-announcements is only a couple more days. There have been none. None. One thing goes right. That's what we miss. You don't need to solve all of these problems because the market's already priced horrifying things. It's going to keep getting worse because we overdo it in both directions. Markets are not perfectly priced, other than you and I agree on a price of whatever it is, whatever stock it is we traded that day. That's it. But it is not the real true value of a corporation is represented every single day. Because there's zero chance that Albertsons is worth 3% more in a day or 3% less in a day. None. Absolutely none. Their business did not go down in a day, 3% or whatever. It's not true. Amazon's business did not decline 10% overnight. It's not true. But the market's reaction to and future events happens instantly. Throws our brains in complete disorder. Totally. Down 20 says earnings are going down a lot. Interest rates are coming up a lot. All these other things. The war in Ukraine. It's going to get worse. Da, 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 da. And it gets worse until somebody, like the beginning of last week, says, I don't know. I think it's good enough. Because we've exhausted the selling. The sellers are gone. They're out. Or even you might get one little tidbit. Hey, it looks like inflation is peaking. Well, I mean, they said that before. No, here's some data over here. Look at this. Housing starts down. Inventory's down. All these things. Oh, huh. No, you mean the supply chain? Yeah, and demand is being crushed. Oh. So you mean, okay, that's not good to crush demand, but it does mean that maybe supply chains won't have as much difficulty catching up. Anyway, whatever they are, it once selling is exhausted and the news doesn't keep getting worse, you have big rallies out of nowhere for no reason. Call them a dead cat bounce if you want, but at some point, the dead cat bounce becomes a real bounce. I'm not saying Monday is off to the races. But when you're in the industry for a while, what you begin to notice is it, and it's hard because you feel it too, you notice that when the doom and gloom is palpable, something good's going to happen. It always does. Always does. All right, I got to take a break. I'm way over. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome. Yes, we are reversing today's program a little bit so I can hit the golf course, hit my tee time, play a little tournament. So Kevin Miller's and my discussion from last Monday will be replaying at the end of the second hour. So give us a call. We are live, of course, 580-5436-580-KIDO. Talking about really so far today, you know, just discussing the fact that markets go down And we can't react to that except more fear of that. I mean, literally, you don't think about investing in this sense. You would never approach any kind of a thought process that would be, man, now that I've lost some of the price movement here, I want out. I mean, then why were you in the first place? What changed? Fear. No, you would never say, well, I just got scared. No, people don't say that. It's like, I just made an emotional decision about my finances. No, nobody says that. So, well, I think it's going to get worse because Joe Biden, Ukraine, inflation, no energy policy, whatever it is. Okay? You have every good. I mean, all you got to do is turn on the news, and then there it is. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. No, my financial advisor may ask me why I feel that way, that I should go ahead and buy stuff when I'm happy and they're high priced and sell when they're down. He's going to ask me why, and I'm not going to say, because I'm really super emotional about money and investing. In other words, you're a human being. It's okay. Then don't look. I actually think that's like super healthy. I have a plan in place. I'm working the plan. And it does not help me to stare at it. It doesn't make me feel good. Okay, I have a suggestion. Excuse me in the back. Okay, what is that? Uh-huh, okay. Oh, okay, don't look. You might feel better. Huh? Yeah, staring at it won't help you make decisions. Really? No, it won't. Nobody has that. All you can do is turn to the news and go, okay, here's the five reasons why I'm doing this, because it'll never get better. That's what we do. We hide behind not even news. It's not news. It's not new. It's already occurred, and markets move. And so you get in this situation where we're literally like quoting some guy that knows nothing about anything except what happened. All he's doing is reading off a teleprompter the news, which is a historic report of what happened yesterday. Groovy. Boy, I can make future decisions off of that. I mean, it just nails the future. No, it nails our emotions. Every time. But nobody runs around going, yeah, you know, I have a hard time with investing. I'm an emotional human being. We don't say that. We actually walk around sometimes and go, you know, I just get a feeling when markets are going to turn. You know, or everybody knew that was going to happen. No, they didn't, but okay, apparently you did. You got the future nailed down. Others don't, but that's really cool for you. You know, you I get it. You can have, if you really, really, truly are an expert, truly, truly, this is the thing you are, this is the thing you were built to do, and you are in it all the time, then yes, you have instinct about things. It's true. Not about everything. Not remotely. Not remotely. But you can have these little things that say nothing else. Everything is priced in. Absolute horror is priced in. It can get worse. But it doesn't have to get better for things to literally turn around. That's what happened this week. Nothing went right. It just quit being so wrong. That's all. It didn't turn around. Last I checked, Ukraine was not going well. Last I checked, inflation was not going well. Last I checked, Joe was actually getting worse by the day. Last I checked, he had a bad week. Not a better week. A worse week. That's our leader. That's our guy. It's not getting better. It's just this sense that I don't think it's going to get much worse. Just a sense. That's the Spidey sense. If you're around for a long time. This doesn't mark that kind of bottom where, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and go, whoa, whoa. And I've shared some of those before, right? Where it's just like that epiphany. Right here, right now, we're not selling anything, period. I'm not even looking. And it's like this great came off my back in early 2009. That pressure just went away. It didn't mark the exact bottom, but it was that feeling that it just can't get worse. Dead cat bounce? Maybe it was last week. I don't know. But it sure didn't happen on a whole bunch of good news. And that's what markets do. All right. Hey, I got to take a quick break. And I got to tell you, too, I'm excited about today. I was so excited about today. I know I need to tone it down. That I have two, I think, important monologues. So I've got top of the next hour, I'm going to deal with that. But right now, I want your phone calls, your emails, dave@petsofinancial.net, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. And once again, we're going to be kind of flip-flopping today around. So my segment with Kevin Miller will be at the end of the second hour. So I will be talking in my opening monologue. I'm going to be talking about volatility equaling opportunity. And it really is. It's not a, I think you're going to like it. I was pretty wound up today, to say the least. But what I want to do now is get out of the way of that discussion and talk with Congressman Russ Fulcher. What's on your mind, Congressman? Thanks for calling.
You know what, Dave? As you know, I didn't plan on doing this, but I do love the show. And I've been so engaged with all the things going on in Washington, D.C. this last week. Socially has been huge, of course. There's been the Roe versus Wade reversal decision, everything that's come with that, all the issues on gun control and whatnot. And I've thought about at the time, and I really wanted to just get your take on this. What do markets do? How do they react to social change or significant changes in the social environment? We know well what happens economically. I mean, you talk about that all the time, and it's clear when there's tariff changes or when there's investment changes or interest rates, all that, that has a direct impact. That's policy related. Not so much with social, but yet, because economies are kind of driven by confidence, the social issues certainly hit that. What are your thoughts about that? What any tendencies you've seen with social issues on market change?
It's a huge fundamental question. That's a big question. So first of all, thanks for asking, and thank you for the compliment of listening periodically. I appreciate that. It's a big question, and certainly for people of faith, and I don't just say faith in God, but I also mean our country, our belief in family, those kinds of, if you will, Christian ties, right? That these are bigger questions. They're very big questions. But it comes in two forms. Do I think that the social fabric of a country is everything, and including economics in the long run? Without question. And I would only have to point to the United States of America to say that. We're not perfect. But I know I had this discussion with you, and I'll share it real quickly, that as I go back and was immersed with 100-plus ninth graders from 7 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night for a week, you can't help but going and seeing so much stuff and reading the letters of Washington, Jefferson, et cetera, and recognizing how flawed they were as human beings and how magnificent a country they built. It's an experiment that continues to grow based on freedom and human values, and values of life. And you think about countries like the Soviet Union that doesn't value life. Afghanistan doesn't value life. The Taliban doesn't value life. And the list goes on. There's so much evil in the world. We get that. And I don't mean to make this a religious discussion, but understanding that fundamentally we are built on the proper type of social values, I think has made us so wealthy so powerful, so great. And if we keep those values, we keep it. In the short run, I would have to say it doesn't matter short term where we live and we think about it in the moment. And what markets react to is going to be economics. But those same economics are affected by the freedom to pursue your own businesses, et cetera, and we compound that throughout the society. Now, I'm going to toss it back and see what you have to say about that, because I know you're very much a student of history.
I do appreciate that, and it makes sense. And, you know, I get frustrated because we debate so much internally in the U.S. House, U.S. Senate about policies that the progressives want to put in place. It really would upend the entire tradition or basis for what America was founded upon. And those types of things I find extremely frustrating, because what we've had, to your point, has resulted in unparalleled prosperity. More prosperity generated by the United States of America in its history than every other nation in the history of the world combined. Yet we want to completely uproot it, or there are those within the halls that I work with who want to completely turn that on its head. And so I think you make sense. Over the long haul, whether it might be that whether the investment community, the business community realizes what it is or not, the character of a market, and I guess you could call this a market that way, the character mm-hmm. of a market, the character of a country, the character of its leadership has implications, very real implications on that market's ability to perform, on that market's ability to consume, to produce. But I've never really stopped. There's just been so much turmoil. Mm-hmm. I had never really stopped to think, okay, what's this doing outside of the world that I operate in? You operate in a totally different world, and I respect your insight a lot. And so I thought, you know, I was listening to the show, you know, I just want to ask you. But the long haul, I mean, it makes sense that over the long haul, it's going to have an impact, but maybe not quite so much short term.
It is. We live now. So, I mean, we live in this moment and only in this moment. And so I think that we get caught in that. And I do think that there's different ways in the financial world we phrase it, thinking about long-term investing and things like that. And Warren Buffett and others have talked about the, you know, being instantly gratified and being able to have the gene that allows you to not be instantly gratified, and what a blessing that is, whatever gene that is. But it is hard as we pull ourselves into this, because we do feel so much, meaning I am socially connected on one side or the other of Roe v. Wade. This is an emotional issue, and I'm not going to be happy about it. My guy didn't win the election. Therefore, the economy and nothing else can be good. That's not true. It might be true in the long run. It might be true that when we diminish the value of life, whether it's in the womb or we're shooting people down in mostly peaceful protests or whatever you want to call them, either way, we're diminishing the value of life. Can't be good for a society. It's not. It's never been good anywhere in any society. So we see that erosion or corrosion, or we can think of it like rust. We're slowly rusting when we do that. And so it is important that we do that. But we get caught in the day-to-day that is going to happen. I really do think that America's been blessed because of the structure and based on our fundamental foundations. Call them Christian foundations if you want. I just prefer that we call them moral or whatever. The reason why is because I don't want somebody raising their arm going, nope, that's not me. I'm not. I don't want any part of that. You know, church and state, whatever you want to say. I want everybody to feel that, to feel the value of life. To understand that we have to have freedom and freedom of laws and freedom of change and freedom of discussion and again, loving life where we just aren't always gunning people down and being angry. We are in trouble with that, in my opinion, long term. And I'm hoping we've hit a tipping point. Any more thoughts for you?
Yeah, you know, that makes sense, Dave. And thank you for sharing that and for just providing some of your thoughts on it. It kind of seems like it goes back to the old adage, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah.
And what's, you know, you can't argue, no one can argue with the long-term prosperity of the United States of America. And you would think that people would be more astute, or leaders would be more astute in thinking about, okay, what got us here? And how do we make sure we keep that?
Mm-hmm.
I guess then you've got the question, or do they really want to keep that? I mean, that is a legitimate question. It's a whole other topic. Do they really want us to be prosperous, the people who are trying to change it? You know, but that's another question. But listen, I appreciate you taking my call, and I thank you for what you do, and I appreciate your counsel and insight on money matters.
Well, thank you, sir, and Congressman, thank you for your contribution is and fighting the good fight. I know it can feel like you're one in hundreds, and when you consider the vast bureaucracy that you and I have talked about back there, the shadow government, if you will, it is an amazing task to go back, and we thank you for that sacrifice. I mean it. I cannot imagine going into that swamp and dealing with the bureaucrats day after day, and coming out smiling.
We're in it together, and I thank you much, and look forward to connecting next time, Dave.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Congressman Russ Fulcher, one of the good guys. I really, really think he is. And it's a tough thing. I'm going to pick on one quick thing before we shut down this hour of Money Matters. You may have noticed I cleared a commercial break, and we're going to shove it at the back end, because I did not want to interrupt the congressman. You know, when we think about the greatness of this country and what it's done, there is nothing like it. And it's not, we're not done. We're the American experiment. It's not done. We got to keep going. We've got to keep going. 25% of the world's GDP production. And I'm just going to make this up, and I'm going to say 90% of the great architecture in the world, 90% of all the engineering breakthroughs, 90% of all the technological, I know it's the same thing, engineering breakthroughs, technology, art, science, biotech, vaccines, everything, 90% comes from less than 5% of the people. That's magic. That's magic. That's not just something to be dithered with. That's something to embrace and enhance and not try to change. I don't know what's wrong with us, wrong with people that are. Less than 5% do 90% of the world's cool stuff in human advancement. Unbelievable. We are. We're different. And that's why. Because America is different. That's our experiment. And we got to cling to it. We've got to. All right. We'll be back with hour number two after this. All right. We're rolling into the next hour here. I guess we had one little second in here to, if you will, to preview what's coming up here. And I got to tell you what. Thank you again, Congressman. I really enjoyed that thought-provoking moment with you. 10 minutes or so. Anyway, I appreciate that. Hey, next hour, I'm going to talk about how volatility is opportunity. And I know you don't think about it that way, or you think I'm just putting a spin on, if you will, or some frosting on poop. However you want to think of it, it's just really not true. And I'm going to give a couple classic examples to really relate to this and to think about it, because these really are healthy times, healthy markets, that just pull back with regularity. All right? I hope you'll stick around for the second hour. At least the monologue. I got some stuff for you. I got some stuff in my heart here. I want to get it out. I got to get it out. It's bursting. All right, stick around. We'll talk to you after the Fox News. Hello, good morning, and thank you for joining us. Wow, what a perfect day. Perfect summer day. Amazing, amazing. Hope you're going to be out enjoying it. I hope you are also enjoying good health and joy in your hearts, because it's tough to do in these times. It is. We have to work at it. I do. Don't you have to work at it? I find myself slapping myself around all day long. It seems like sometimes it's like, come on, knock it off. You're being grouchy. You're feeling grouchy. You're thinking grouchy. Ugh. Anyway, let's steer away. We are in volatile times, and I know the world is upside down. It's backwards. It's, you know, and I've talked about this before. I feel like we're at a tipping point. We're seeing it in elections. We're seeing it in people in the hardest fought areas. And to me, nothing represents that more than what's happening along the border and border counties, border districts in Congress that for the first time go Republican in 100 years. Things are changing. They are. The very people, as you heard Russ Fulcher talking about, the very people that are trying to change the things that make this country uniquely different and uniquely good are the people that have overplayed their hand. And maybe we are going to have a better future. I hope so. In the meantime, these are extraordinarily volatile times in the market. They are. And as we look at the lack of confidence out there, and I'm not going to read you the newspaper here. We all feel it every day. We know it. And it's reported every single day how bad things are. And they are. How low the approval rating is, how bad things are going in Ukraine, how bad they're going over in Europe, how high inflation is. The list goes on. And what we always do as human beings is we always turn to the leaders, right? It's like, okay, so what are we going to do about fill in the blank? Now, most of the time, you know, I'm going to say, Lord help us, please don't have the bureaucrats do anything. Please. Please don't. But we also, even if it's not doing a lot, and maybe just doing, you know, like a little touch here and there of stuff that would be not permanently changing, but you know how politicians have to do things, right? You can't just sit around and go, okay, well, we ought to let the cleanup go. No, I got to take my helicopter and fly over the hurricane and shake my head and nod and make money available, because that's the leader. It's what they do. It's not that they did anything, but they led. And in the case of a disaster, they're leading with their heart. Here, I am your leader. Have my heart. That's all it says. But when the leader can't find the door to his house without people pointing to it, we've got a problem. When he can't complete a sentence, you get the idea. You get the idea. I'm not putting down Joe Biden. This is the point is why is consumer confidence at an all-time low? How can things get better? It's at an all-time low. All time. So consumers are like, oh, that means me and you. Ugh. So we have to guard ourselves and our feelings away from making bad decisions. Not just selling out, but not taking advantage of volatility and opportunities. We need to do that. Oh, we need to do that. This is an amazing opportunity because of volatility. And I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but I want you to understand a couple of things, because when we can kind of break out the differences between two different types of investments, you can really see how the volatility goes, whoosh, shining star. Where our emotions pick the other one as a shining star. Now, I know that there's people on the radio and there are people doing seminars and you, oh, a free dinner, blah, blah, blah. You know what free dinner is? The most expensive dinner you'll ever have. Honestly, it's not information. I know. It's probably a sales pitch. Yeah, but I just want to find out. No, you don't. It's a pitch. You don't learn anything from a pitch. You don't. You learn about all the good things about a pitch, a product. Do you really think you're best served in your financial planning, your financial thought process, your financial advice by being pitched a product? Or do we make a plan and work the plan with whatever products, whatever things would be best? Multiple things. We all know the answer to that. Don't go! But we also know that in the times of volatility, in the times of that, where everybody knew this was coming, all the market's overpriced. I know it's been overpriced since 10,000, but being wrong from 10,000 to 38,000 back towards 30 ain't right. It's not right. Markets work. Markets are certain to pull back over and over again all the days of our lives. Wow, what's weird about that? Is I've said that when the market was hitting all-time highs for 40 years. This is inevitable, certain to occur. So it happens. And so when volatility happens, we should be thinking about it. Are there opportunities? Not just to run. So setting it in place quickly here. We are in a very tumultuous time, and we are in a scary time because we have no confidence in our leadership. Fair enough? Okay? Not even a political statement. Fact. Here's what, if you're just scared to death, this kind of volatility has done. I gave a couple of examples a couple of weeks ago, and I'm happy to keep doing them. This note just came across my, email. A note. A note is a debt instrument that is issued by major banks. In this case, it happened to be Citicorp. Okay? Obviously, a much stronger company, much more capable than any insurance company in the world, which, quotes, guarantees the results. Okay? But they don't say that because guess what? It's a security. We don't guarantee anything in security land. It's true. This note, because of volatility, I'm just telling you, this was not available 6 months ago. Not even close to these numbers. So now, remember, market's already down 20%. That's a fact, which means it's by fact 20% less risky than it was 6 months ago. That's a fact. Okay? It doesn't feel that way, but that's true. But because of that volatility, and it doesn't, because it doesn't feel that way, we get a better deal. We get more upside, and we're already in a less risky world. That's weird to me. Okay, so think about that for a minute. That's why I said this is important to really think about. So it's demonstrably less risky, but we have this. We can now get the market, as measured by the S&P 500, 100% of the upside. 100%, no cap. You mean if the market goes up over the next 5 years, 200%? Yep. Even if it more than doubles, like it doesn't do that very much. Yep, you get that. All of it. None of this nonsense of, hey, if the market goes up, you only get 3%. Here's the downside. No dividend. Oh, yeah, you don't get that on any other product either. Oh, okay, but I know it's only 2%, but you got to count it. That's the cost of all the options in it. And here's the catch. If the market's up in the first year, here's the cool part. If the market's up in the first year, like 2%, you get 10. What? You mean I get more than the market? Yep, you do. That's cool, but what isn't so cool is if it's up 20, you only get 10. And your note goes away, and you have to redo it. In maybe a less volatile market, therefore probably a less volatile market, and the next deal won't be as good. My point is this. You can go ahead and put caps on it. You can tie your money up for 10 years. You can give an annuity pimp 10% up front. 10% commission up front. No kidding. I know, you don't pay any fees, right? Yeah, because a 10% commission isn't, in their world, woo, a fee. It is. And it's tied up forever. Don't do it. There's all kinds of things because of technology, and it's available in exchange-traded fund world, ETFs, which, guess what it costs you to trade an ETF? Zero. Literally. They have all kinds of these things, and that was the example I gave a couple weeks ago. When we see volatility, we need to run towards it, not away from it. I know the inclination is to run. I live in this world. I am human. But when you have deals that, for example, if you want 10% downside protection over the next year in an ETF that 6 months ago capped you at 10% upside is now 22%, right, same downside protection, twice as much upside, more than twice as much, only because of volatility. Let me give you another one. Real estate. In real estate, they have this new, again, technology is wonderful. You can actually put money into private real estate through a mutual fund. It's really cool. They're called interval funds. So you can go in anytime, but you can only come out 4 days a year. Okay? Just generally. Not going to give names. You can't buy it anyway. It's not available except through institutional buying. Here's the thing. You can go into these, and the price rarely moves at all. I mean, it ticks up every once in a while, but it pays around 5%. That's pretty cool. And the price doesn't move. In fact, the only thing that's happened this year to the one that we prefer is, in fact, it's up over 10% in a down market, a badly down market. Not because it moves counter, just because it doesn't move at all with the market. That's private real estate. Now, on the public side, take something like Simon Property Group, which runs operates the malls around the country. Well, nobody's going to do anything except buy Amazon packages. They drop them in your pool from a drone somewhere, floats out there. You come home, pick it up. That's the future of shopping, sort of. But they own this. And so if the mall's no good, they could like turn it into a data center or condos or something, right? Yeah, of course. But Simon Property Group over the last 6 months has moved from $150 a share down below $100. And what's happened to its income? It went from 5 to 7. Because of volatility, same company, but because of volatility, we had a yield rally of massive proportion, 35% higher yield. Same company. By the way, check the balance sheet, paid its dividend all the way through the pandemic. Yeah, when they legally shut down the malls. Nobody there paid a dividend. I call that opportunity. But the optics of one not moving, in fact, moving up in this market is like, that's the one I want. That's what I want. But when there's a yield rally like this, and these rallies are occurring in the Dow Chemicals, Honeywell, these are dividend growers. Over time, we want to run towards that, not away. And I think when we think about the options market, and you begin to understand that, that's why I went into the weeds with this note and also saying, stay away from all of these other products. Everybody's scared. I get it. It's scary. I get it. And if you have to have that kind of protection, just don't tie it up for the next 10 years in a stupid annuity. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's lots of opportunities with some downside protection. All because of technology, all because of volatility. Instead of running from it, we ought to be running to it. There's been a huge yield rally out there. Find those pennies, buy those dollars for the future, and have a great rest of the weekend. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy Kevin Miller and my interview from Monday.